Good morning. You listen to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is John Ball, who's managing director with Stiefel Nicholas. John, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Kemp. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Did you have a good Memorial break?
I did. Came off a 10-day business trip, so it was much needed. Thank you.
Yeah. I'd like to talk a little bit about that trip. You were overseas looking at some of Mohawk's properties and businesses, so we'll get to that in just a minute. Let's start out, though. Let's talk about this first quarter. Most people, I was just with the NAHB economist, and he was talking about this first quarter, and he was saying it was really just an anomaly, and he expected 14 to continue to travel on the same pace that we'd seen in third and fourth quarter of last year. What's your take on all that?
Yeah, I think the latest NAHB forecast has 2014 single-family housing starts growing 22%. We've got 4 months in the year in the books, officially, and we're plus two. So I guess we're missing a digit. Certainly, weather is an excuse. Having said that, I believe the NAHB forecast was more robust several months ago and has come down, not simply due to the weather, but probably some headwinds developing. You constantly read about the student debt issue, the underemployment levels, particularly for the young, and mortgage rates are still on an absolute basis attractive relative to history. When you get small moves off of a small number, they can be big percentage changes. So the housing affordability number is 20% less attractive than a year ago. So my view is that we're still going to see growth. I think we had 621,000 single-family housing starts last year, and we'll see growth. I don't know if it'll be in excess of 20%. You know, the longer-range forecast that has us back to a million starts, Camp, on the way to 1.5 million total housing starts, including multifamily, you know, that's the number that matches long-range household formation. You know, I'm just a little bit more pessimistic about how long it takes to get there. Not that we won't get there, but there's some clear housing headwinds we're facing beyond weather, in my opinion.
Yeah, there's been a lot of conversation with this whole Fannie Mae and how much restrictions, whether or not they're going to let up on these restrictions. I guess that's a lot of talk right now, isn't it?
There's a lot of talk. The government does its usual dance. Back in 04 and 05, they were forcing lenders to approve loans that, in hindsight, clearly shouldn't have been approved. Then they go the other direction and make the standards so much more difficult that it's impacting the market negatively. Now the new leader coming in is talking about loosening up. So, you know, that's an ever-evolving dance. You know, I think there are some structural challenges to our economy as it relates to the ability for particularly their starter home buyer to enter the market. And that's something that's got to be addressed, because ultimately those people then become second home, and, you know, or they buy their second or third or fourth home and move up through life's changes that way. And if you can't get started, it's difficult to build that equity, which is critical to the long-range housing growth.
Mm-hmm. And that's what the economists with the Builders Association said, is that we just can't get those guys to come in. The young first-time buyers, they're just not coming in right now.
Well, they have bad income levels and a lot of debt. That's mm-hmm. a bad combination.
Right, right. All right, so you did just travel with Mohawk over to Europe. Tell us a little bit about what you heard over there.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. I've been meaning, obviously, they bought Unilin way back in 2005 and Barazzi just about a year ago. So Mohawk's clearly put a stake in the ground in terms of wanting to expand geographically as well as by product line. You know, very different kind of stories between the two. I think what was fascinating to me was in northern Italy, which is, of course, the sort of center of the universe for ceramic tile, like Dalton is in carpet. You know, how well respected that brand is, how well distributed it is locally, and, you know, that almost 50% of their sales in that region involve customers coming to their door to pick up product, FOB factory. So it's kind of an interesting model. I think the jury's out on Western Europe, which is a significant part of their business. There were big parliamentary elections this past weekend that seemed to run against the European Union, which, you know, if you're pro-business, is somewhat concerning. A very mixed bag in Europe still, where markets like Spain, I guess, got so bad that they're now coming off a bottom. Germany's relatively strong. France remain quite weak. So I think for Marazzi specifically, you know, they've got to still address a lot of cost structures in Western Europe. Learned a fair bit about the Russian business, and you know, that business is actually fairly good, even though the Russian economy seems to be in some sort of state of collapse. That's because they manufacture locally there, and with exchange rates, it's much less favorable to import into that market. Very impressed with the management team. Keep away, I think, fascinated, Kemp, by the style fashion trends. As you know, the wood looks are quite popular in ceramic. Mm-hmm. The increasing size of tiles, the planks, the rectangles. If I came away with anything, it's a sense of how much fashion is driving this business, which is a very favorable development for floor covering, moving from a utilitarian product to more of a fashion, because one thing we know about fashion, it will change.
Yeah. Right, so let's talk about that Russian thing for a minute, because we've been watching what's going on with Putin's activity with Ukraine and us putting sanctions on. How are these sanctions going to affect Mohawk's business in Russia?
Look, when you get into these situations, I guess nothing's off the table. But Putin does have an immense amount of pressure locally by the business community. The ties have increased between Russia and Eastern and Western Europe. I'm hard-pressed to believe that Putin is going to push this to a point where we see those economic ties fracture. You know, this getting out of my field of expertise, I think there's a fair bit of saber-rattling going on. I think his primary goal is to annex Crimea, which he's done. I think Ukraine's a bit of a distraction to cover up that success, which, you know, for him, success is an outrage to the international community and all the laws that you're supposed to abide by. But I really think we'll see, once again, increasing connectivity of the world help in terms of a peace dividend. We shall see. He's a mercurial character and worrisome and needs to be watched, if not sort of wrapped on the wrist a little bit, in my view. But I really don't see quite the risk to that business, but everything's a calculated gamble when you go into these parts of the world.
Yeah. All right, so when you look at Mohawk, you know, from a big picture, you look at their total sales, about 30% of their sales, I believe, is outside of the United States, and they're mostly over there in Europe and in Russia. So just quick summary, you think their business over there is healthy?
Yeah, the laminate business, which we didn't really touch on, you know, they're building that new LVT facility there in Wilsbeca, and I think it's going to be an important bridge to them for the future. They're still integrating Spano and Pergo acquisitions.
Right.
A lot of changes had to occur within the manufacturing process to accommodate all of the Pergo products. We saw new product launches for both the Pergo and Uniland brands, and they're pretty exciting. Continue to be amazed by the technology, what you can do in terms of simulating real wood with laminate flooring, and certainly Uniland is on the leading edge of that. So I think they're assuming it's going to be a fairly stagnant market there, and they need to grow their presence, and they'll do that with product innovation and you know, sales and marketing. So, again, very mixed picture, broadly speaking, pretty flat, but they're hopeful that new products and some of the initiatives they have are going to still drive sales growth there.
All right. So as we look at the rest of the year and we think about Armstrong, Interface, Mohawk all together, you feel like 14 is going to be a little stronger than 13?
I still do. I mean, we got off to a bad start, and a lot of that is weather-related. You know, we've seen some significant improvements in the months of April and May. A little hard to judge how much of that is a rebound effect, right, and really where we are on a run rate basis. You know, while I'm not negative on housing construction, it is going to be lower, less robust than maybe forecast. It's still going to be positive, and I think the same can be said for repair and remodel. Existing home turnover has been kind of sloppy for several months running, but I really still see volume improvements. We're seeing mix improvements. So I'm relatively constructive, both residentially and commercially, for the balance of the year. Pretty flat start in the first quarter, and I think we'll revert more to growth rates like that we saw in the third and fourth quarter as we go through the year.
Yeah, you know, the annual Neocon show just around the corner, and everybody is optimistic that that's going to be a strong show. So,
well, I hope so, and I think it will be improved. Yeah, the employment picture is still somewhat mixed, albeit the line trending slightly up. We've seen commercial construction activity bottom and finally head back up. That's sort of a 12-month lead to floor covering demand. So, yeah, the commercial picture, again, I would say that some of my peers have been way too bullish with forecasts over the last few years, and those forecasts are coming in to more reasonable levels, and we're finally hitting the time frame when we're seeing that demand actually pick up. So I think if you're reasonable in your expectations about what kind of recovery we really have going on here, and it's unlike any other one, we'll see improvement, but not a V-shaped recovery. And frankly, we should see a V-shaped recovery if history repeats itself, given the magnitude of the downturn. But we're just not going to get that for a whole lot of structural reasons, in my opinion.
All right, John, well, it's great to talk to you. Again, been talking to John Ball, with Managing Director with Stifel Nicolaus, and you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloridaDaily.net.